the simplest commercial baking resource, brought to you by Bakerpedia and hosted by Mark Florca. With 45 years of industry experience, Mark knows the ins and outs of baking. He is Bakerpedia's community forum manager and baking instructor. He's here to share knowledge and help you grow connections. You're listening to the Baked In Science Podcast.
Hello, everyone. My name is Mark Florca, and I'm your host of the Baked In Science Podcast. This is a little bit of a special episode close to home for me. I was provided with the opportunity to chat with Executive Director of the Baking Association of Canada, also known as the BAC. Now, while there is a very interesting and long history to the BAC, we don't dive into that today. Our conversation today will give you some insight to the BAC, as well as the upcoming Bakery Showcase trade show and baking conference in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, May 5th and 6th, 2024. Well, I welcome everybody to another Baked in Science, and my guest today is Martin Barnett. Welcome, Martin.
Thank you for having me.
We haven't had a chance to catch up in a long while, and as I've had a chance to get to know you a little bit, and we got to meet up in Munich at IBIE, and I wanted to help use you to share with our listeners about the BAC, the Baking Association of Canada. So if you can tell us a little bit about who is Martin Barnett as far as the baking world goes, and then let's get into BAC.
Well, where do I start?
Well, we want to keep it to 20 minutes.
I'm a baker. And I'll save my history for another conversation, Mark. But I'm a baker.
Let's say you've been around the block more than two or three times.
I started off in a whole grain bakery in the 70s.
Oh, nice.
And then we ran bakeries with my family for nearly 20 years. I transitioned to work at the Empress Hotel, a Fairmont Hotel.
Nice.
And where I was, it was boot camp for fancy pastry. So from organic whole grains to fancy pastry. And then I again transitioned to teaching and was a teacher, bakery pastry instructor at Vancouver Island University on Vancouver Island.
Oh, excellent. Yes.
For about 20 years.
Yeah.
And an amazing experience every day teaching creative minds and sharing with them. And so that was my career, and then I retired. We built a baking lab next to our house called Serafina's Oven, just so that that was the name of our wood-fired brick oven. So we
could it's funny. None of us seem to be able to actually really retire.
No. Somebody said to me before retiring, "What are you going to do? Put your feet up and watch Netflix?" And I shuddered. I was actually offended by that. You don't know me. But we started a little bakery school consulting business. We did community classes and professional development, just at our own pace. And of course, COVID hit, and everything shut down.
Yeah.
During that time, I've always been a director. Well, I've been a director of the Baking Association of Canada for about 15 years, and both as a regional rep and then on the national board. And we were tasked with this terrible decision to make because we weren't able to have our bakery showcase in 2020 and 2021, which was the main financial driver, which paid for everything else, paid for the infrastructure, paid for the staff, and paid for all the advocacy work and educational work that we did. So, you know, as a member of the board, we had to make a decision what we were going to do. And if we hadn't been able to have a show in 2020, this was the spring of 21, we would have run out of money, and we were still paying our loyal staff, some of whom have been with the organization for over 20 years.
Yep.
And we decided, difficult decision, to sever their contracts and make arrangements to retrench them while we had the money to do that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that was done, very sad. About a week before this all happened, you know, which was very macro level decision making for volunteer director.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said, "Well, what's going to happen, you know, the day after we shut the office? Who's going to answer the phone? Yeah. Who's going to write emails?" And it turns out that the semi-retired one, everybody was looking at him, me.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. I answered the phones and, mm-hmm. and wrote emails. And within a few hours, of course, of taking on this task, I realized this is not something that could be done off the side of my desk.
Yep.
That for the rest of the world, the BAC had not stopped operating. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah.
And we had a lot of work to do, and everyone expected us to do it. So the directors asked me if I would do it, if I had the capacity, and I worked my schedule, put Serafina's oven on hold, and have been working full time for the association since the middle of 2021.
And so you mentioned advocacy. So in terms of, you know, letting us know a little bit about what the BAC does beyond, you know, the trade show, which is an income generator, as well as education and information and networking and stuff for the members. And you also have like golf tournaments and things like that are arranged, but that's not the important work of the BAC. And can you expand a little bit on what you mentioned by advocacy? So people understand how important this organization is.
Absolutely. And the BAC was founded in the late 90s as the voice of all Canadian bakers and as a government relations arm for Canadian bakers. Mm-hmm. And with the idea that the work we do on a big scale with government would then trickle down and benefit all bakeries in Canada, which it
mm-hmm.
did. And, you know, whether that's, you know, battling with Health Canada on sodium content and high fat, high sugar labeling, whether it's dealing with supply chain issues, labor issues, the grocery code of conduct, or even, you know, micronutrients, all of those issues, they take a lot of work, a lot of specialized work.
Yep.
Work that I had to learn how to talk about this. I had to learn mm-hmm. a completely new vocabulary, because being a doughhead, you know, nobody had ever trained me to talk to government officials before.
Yeah.
And so I found the best way was actually to be myself and
absolutely. Yeah.
Was happy.
You know, this makes me think of, for example, when you mentioned some of the nutrition things, the macro ingredients, I guess you could say, is like thinking of sugar, for example. It is one of the most misunderstood ingredients, especially when it comes to baking and how it affects us in the baking industry. To simply say that, you know, sugar simply is a sweetener and that it's, you know, we shouldn't eat too much of it or things is, it's like, hold on a second. There's an enormous amount of functionality when it comes to sugar. And then when you have something like, was it Rogers or the strike that was out west,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And then you have the strike and the sugar refinery that supplies the majority of all of Western Canada, you know, west of the Red River, so to speak. It's like, you know, who's going to help these guys now, right? I mean, and trying to press upon the government, who's going to press upon the government that we need your help to get this sugar refinery back online because it affects the entire baking industry to feed people. And that's something that where the BAC ends up getting involved too, right?
Well, it was an interesting situation because, and this is the third sugar strike in Western Canada in the last 110 years. And all of them were very interesting. We could have a whole discussion about sugar and the history of it. But it got a little tight around Christmas time, especially with the soft sugars. And of course, once the press got a hold of it, the side effect of telling people there's going to be a shortage of sugar means that everybody goes out and hoards sugar. Yep. And it's a, you know, self-exacerbating situation. But it was stressful for our industrial customers because, you know, they're used to just-in-time ordering and having inventory for a week to 10 days. And not like the old days where you'd have a big warehouse at the back and you'd stock up for a few months.
Mm-hmm.
So, talking about work with the government and, you know, I'm out west here, so
yes, yep.
On Sunday afternoon, I wrote an email to Agriculture Canada, one of the directors, and said, can we get together and talk about the sugar crisis in Western Canada? And my idea of writing to him on Sunday afternoon was he would get it when he came in on Monday morning,
mm-hmm.
And then set some wheels in motion. Well, I got an email back later on Sunday night.
From a government official, wow!
Saying, we'll get the teams together tomorrow morning. Can you get on a call at 9 o'clock, Mike?
That is incredible. Yeah. That is incredible.
So there's been a little shift. You know, bakers tend to be very quiet when it comes to the government. We put our heads down, we do our work, and we go under the radar. Everybody's happy because, you know, we're providing nutritious and delicious and good tasting, fun baked goods for everybody, and everyone lets us go about our business.
Mm-hmm.
We're a $16 billion industry,
yep.
in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
I think that when we told them in November, when the Agriculture Canada came to our directors meeting and they sat down and said, we just realized how big an industry you are. And I think that was the turning point,
mm-hmm.
Where they went, we have to take this industry seriously.
Seriously, yep.
And, you know, on the same level as the dairy farmers, the poultry farmers.
Absolutely.
The meat producers. It's significant. So we're about a tenth of all food production in Canada.
That's
big goods in and out.
And it's great to get that recognition. And I mean, obviously, it also shows that the respect that the BAC garners in the world and in Canadian agriculture and food industry world as well, right? That's important.
One of the things that we did right at the beginning of the transition was to seek out a director of a technical and nutritional policy, which is what we called it back in the old days. Johanna Trudeau, very well respected in the industry. She was our director. She retired just before COVID, and so there was a void. We didn't have that position, and I couldn't do everything. I didn't have the background anyway. So we hired Denise Lee, very knowledgeable nutritionist and government relations person. She lives in Ottawa, and she's my, you know, partner in the organization dealing with all the government relations.
And that's work. That's key. That's an important thing that Dr. Lin and I will often talk about to bakers is you can't know and do everything yourself.
No.
And you need to seek out experts to support you in the things that where you don't have the strength or where you can't know everything. And nutrition is a really good example because it is a very complex world. And like between United States and Canada, as much as the nutrition facts panels look very similar and some regulations are similar, there is no harmonization and they are different. And it gets frustrating. But if you have the knowledge and the support before you're exporting into the US or importing from the US, then you make sure you have everything up to speed and correctly, you know, declared and so on, right?
Well, a lot of our work with our larger customers is about exporting and importing. And something that your listeners might not know is that we have a collaborative relationship with the American Bakers Association.
Perfect.
And the Retail Bakers of America. And so we meet on a regular basis to talk about issues that affect both sides, members both sides of the border, and it's a wonderful relationship, very supportive, mm-hmm. and we're glad that we have that, and in fact, the ABA crew are going to come up to Bakery Showcase,
mm-hmm.
and
wow, good.
Part of Bakery Showcase this year, we're going to have an international panel. And we're going to talk about those issues that affect bakers globally, actually. And so
that's a perfect segue to, you know, what I wanted to ask you about we've mentioned kind of the big trade show, Bakery Showcase, and in our baking world in Canada, all people have to do is say showcase and they know what you're talking about. And so tell us a little bit more about that. I mean, what is Bakery Showcase and what's going on this year?
Well, very exciting because this is the third trade show since the transition. The first one was 2022, just coming out of COVID. Mm-hmm. It was a success, but everything was still muted in spring of 2022. Mm-hmm. a lot of big companies didn't want to travel, and a lot of people were afraid of coming out into crowds.
Yep.
It was still a successful show. This morning I got an email saying that we have sold out. We've sold all our booths. It's never happened before.
That's excellent. So that's fantastic.
We're nearly 2 months away, and there isn't an square inch of exhibition space to be sold.
That's great. And as I found out, the show hotel is sold out as well, right?
Yes. Yeah. It's so lots of people coming. Our thing this year, I mean, one thing I didn't touch on, you know, we talked about the macro, of course, and mm-hmm. the macro issues that have faced our industry, is that we've put a lot of work into connecting with the small bakers in Canada. There's about 2,500 small bakeries that identify as artisan bakers, and mm-hmm. whatever that means, we're not sure. But we did a very good job the first 20 years of our existence looking after the big guys.
Yep.
And the small guys benefited because of the trickle-down effect.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't actually talk to the small guys. And some of those small guys are now medium-sized and big bakeries.
Yep.
And they have, been amazingly creative in production and in product. And we began to celebrate them and recognize them and relate to them.
Fantastic.
So we're doing a lot of work on the regional level. Yeah. And At the same time, we recognize that production equipment has sort of, it's not just for the big guys anymore. Mm-hmm. So digitization and efficient bakery production equipment is for every baker.
Yeah, so there's also a lot more of that equipment that has been, for lack of a better description, downsized. So
yes,
the automation is available to the medium-sized bakeries without having to do huge capital cost investments that are outsized their production. Right?
Mark, 40 years ago, you could have an overhead proofing system in a small bakery, and it worked. You know, that was it. Mm-hmm. I was at a commissary for four coffee shops in Victoria, BC last week, mm-hmm. and they specialize in donuts. They probably have a 600 to 700 square foot kitchen where they produce for these four coffee shops.
That's not that much space.
No, but right in the middle, they have an extruder depositor with a small footprint. You know, maybe 4 feet by 4 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, you know, because I was expecting to go into a small pastry shop, you know, and know what everything looked like. And there was this machine, looked like a Dalek from Doctor Who, you know. And they made an investment into an important piece of equipment, not just for labor saving, although of course it is labor saving, but just for the efficiency of doing, you know, there's 900 to 1,000 donuts a night.
Yep.
That it's not somebody cutting them out by hand,
and they're consistent too.
Yeah, and being consistent. Yep. So I think that's worth celebrating. So when we talked about the theme for Showcase this year, we just came up with the idea of, let's celebrate artisan baking and technology.
Mm-hmm.
And of course everybody went, yes, of course, there's we can balance both of those things. And then having that justified when I went to Discovery Donuts last week and seeing, yep. you know, there's someone. And then I went to a little shortbread place, and they said, you know, we're looking at a machine. We need something. They just make shortbread. It's a mom and pop operation, literally.
And there's excellent rotary cutters now for that are not huge machines, and they're very efficient. They're very affordable, and you know they can hugely increase their production, and they're very scalable, right? I mean, it's amazing. Yeah. That's fantastic, right? And so do we have some of those kinds of exhibitors at Showcase?
Yeah, and we have all the usual exhibitors are there, and we have some of the exhibitors we have panels that are going to be actually talking about digitization of production.
Mm-hmm.
We have panels that are talking about challenges of commercial artisan baking in Canada and North America. Mm-hmm. We have Karen Borner, who is my counterpart at the Bread Bakers Guild of America. She's coming up.
Excellent.
And we have Dawn from Evelyn's Crackers. They're a whole grain cracker company,
mm-hmm.
As well as commercial bakers from the area as well. So these guys are going to be sitting on a panel and hashing out things and arguing and coming up with solutions that are going to, well, they're going to be interesting and also benefit everybody. And
that's going to be cool. That's going to be a really interesting conversation.
And I have to give a shout out to our industry in that, how generous everybody is with their time and attitude. And that some people, you know, would think, oh, an industrial baker doesn't want to talk to an artisan baker, mm-hmm. or an artisan baker, you know, is too snobby to have a conversation with a big industrial baker. That's not true in Canada.
No.
Everybody wants to know what everyone else is doing. Everyone is interested. And the story I tell of George Weston, of which is now FGF, George Weston was a baker. And he had a vision that, if he had made some extra loaves of bread and put them in his horse and cart, he could deliver to a wider geographic area.
Yeah, you mentioned FGF Foods is I had an opportunity to meet briefly with a few people from FGF in their R&D group. This was before they took over the Weston's frozen products. And there too, like you said, they are very innovative. They're very interested in artisan methods as well as commercialization of things, and their processes and stuff. They're very open in that sense, like you is what you're, you know, what you I hear you saying too, and that's a really good attitude and conversation to have with people, right? If we remain open, that we all win in that sense, right?
Absolutely.
We all learn from each other. Yeah,
and I always remind people, Mark, that my background is whole grain baking and production baking and education, but We have a responsibility to feed 9 billion people on this planet and keep the planet safe.
Yeah.
Environmentally.
Yes.
So there's a lot of work to do, but we have to feed each other. Mm-hmm. And not everybody can afford an $8 loaf of whole grain sourdough bread made in a niche bakery. Families can't always do that. So how do we, how does big industrial baking learn from artisan baking to produce something with industrial economy that is as nutritional as, the corner whole grain bakery?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, that's a really good point. And so the format of the show is now 2 days. I remember it used to be more long. Are you getting pushback on that, in that do the exhibitors want more, or is this a nice happy medium for everyone?
It's a happy medium. Some people do like 3 days. It used to be the third day was very slow, but people did big business on the third day, know what I mean. Maybe we'll look at it again this year. Of course, the costs are 50% more to run a show for 3 days. And it's not easy to get convention space.
Yes, absolutely.
A year ago, we had to put a deposit down for 2025. So in 2023, we had to put a deposit down for 2025 in Montreal. And then there was like three other people waiting for the dates that we've been offered. That's where we have. So
it's always the challenge.
Running a show is managing a show, and that used to be all done in house. Amazing job. Now we have partners that run the show with us, from Annex Business Media, the publishers of Baker's Journal and Pizza Monthly. They do the show management for us, and what a great partnership that is.
So, that is fantastic. That is excellent. Right.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you about that because I thought it looked that way to me, and that is incredible.
A match made in heaven. I mean, there's been no disagreements in 3 years. There's been no disagreements.
Excellent. That's always good to hear. And one of the things always want to make sure to point out to people is the registration fee. Now, some shows that I've been to, they run anywhere from $300-$400 US up to $1,200 for the attendee to visit the show. Where does Bakery Showcase fall in that for attendees, not for exhibitors, right?
I'm going to look that up because I should know that off the top of my head, shouldn't I?
It's $20, Martin. It's $20.
I know that there's prices for members and non-members, so that's what I was just checking on.
Oh, I guess I'm remembering as I'm a member, so for members it's $20, right?
And So in the past, we used to have the very complicated multi-tier system, members, non-members. If you go to one breakout seminar, it would cost you this much. If you went to two, it would cost you this much. If you went to all of them, you got a mm-hmm. discount. And we've decided to offer all of the breakout seminars for free.
Fantastic. And that's good.
And because we want as many people as possible to.
Yep.
This is not a profit center for us. This is not, we don't want to make money off sharing educational opportunity.
Good point.
And of course, you know, the sponsors have stepped up to help underwrite those.
Yeah, because as you pointed out, it does cost money to rent the halls and everything else like that that's associated with it. But it's not, you're not putting that financial burden onto the visitors who are coming. You're supporting that through the BAC and through sponsorship. That's fantastic.
Right. So as well as the panel discussions, and I think there's about six of them, we have some demonstrations as well ongoing. We have a celebration cake competition.
I was just going to say, you still have a competition.
Yeah. And I think we have a baguette competition as well this time. We have two authors coming. So Issa Nehemiah is a Dutch baker that's written a bread book for pastry bakers. And just had it translated into English. Yeah. So he wanted to, he's actually married to a Canadian, but has a bakery in Amsterdam.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted the opportunity to come to the show. And he said, you know, why don't you talk about your book and then you can sell it to show. He's a very knowledgeable man.
Perfect.
And then, of course, our own beloved Anna Olsen is going to be there.
Yep.
She's going to be on one of the panels as well as talking about her career in baking and pastry, and of course signing her books, which is mm-hmm. always fun. It was the longest lineup in the show.
And one of the celebrities always get that.
One of the reasons is she takes the time to talk to everybody.
She's a very nice person. Fantastic. And you mentioned the next regional show for next year. That's going to be in Montreal, is it?
Oui, monsieur.
Oh, excellent. Right.
Yeah. So we're looking forward to that.
Getting a little closer to home for me.
Yes, it is. And then also, I mean, talking of regional, one of the ways that we've been, do I have time to share this with?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So in our desire to engage with the small regional bakers, we decided to hold some regional events, and which weren't golf tournaments or fundraising dinners.
They're nice, but you know, the thing is, it's nice to also hear their voices.
So last year we did a pilot in Victoria, which is my home turf. We're close to my home turf. We wanted to have a get together with the local Victoria bakers. One of our baker colleagues said, "You can all come to my place. I'm closed on Mondays." And we thought it would be a success if 20, 25 people showed up just to sit around, have a cup of coffee, talk about the business. We had over 70 register. Mark.
Oh, fantastic. That is so great to hear.
And we had to go, well, of course, we had to have another venue. It then wasn't going to be an informal chat. We had to have some kind of structure. Mm-hmm. We could not shut them up.
Mm-hmm.
And for an afternoon, everybody wanted to talk, you know, small bakers, large bakers, they just wanted to talk. And especially, you know, January of 2023, nobody had been to an event for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just talked. They talked about their businesses. We had informal panel discussions. We had brainstorming sessions. And then we repeated that with as much success in Winnipeg at Red River College, at Barrie, Ontario, Georgian College, and then out to Moncton, New Brunswick at NBCC. And Bakers just talked. And we are, you know, we asked them, what do you want next? And everybody said, we want you to carry on.
Yeah,
it's a lot of work organizing these events, I have to tell you.
Yeah.
But they wanted to carry on, and they wanted an educational component to the
event. That's great to hear.
So last week, we had an event at Centennial College in Ontario. We had Jeroen van Hoijvert, he's a Dutch pastry chef, working with chocolates and in Canada. And he came to the demonstration, three beautiful plated desserts with multiple elements.
Fantastic. You know,
difficult to do on a commercial level, but wonderful to do for a special.
They inspire ideas for the commercial level. That is what I always find. And
we sponsored that with, and then there was an initiative of the Canadian Pastry Chefs Guild, which has been dormant for about 6 years.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And but some of the original members, you know, because said, can we resurrect it? How do we do it? Mm-hmm. And we said, let's do a joint event. And this was the fruition of that conversation. And very nice. About 70 people showed up. We have an event at SAIT in Calgary. That's SAIT is the technical college there, South Atlantic Institute of Technology. This is called Farmer Miller Baker.
Yes, I saw that. Yep.
And so we have a farmer talking about growing grains for baking. We have a miller that's milling fresh grains. We have a baker that's going to be producing goods made from those fresh milled grains.
Oh, excellent.
And so it's a day long series of workshops and demonstrations. We're going to make pizza out, whole grain pizza. They have a wood fabric oven there. And
I remember now, because she is going to actually produce from the freshly milled grain. And so there are a number of challenges in doing that. So it's going to be really interesting, to learn from that.
Yeah. And I think there's going to be a panel discussion some of the innovative arm of Cereals Canada is going to participate too. So again, you know, we have the people that represent big industry and big agriculture, and of course our main export crop, which is wheat, are coming to talk and share and listen. And I like that dynamic.
This is phenomenal. This has been incredibly informative, Martin. Thank you very much for your time. It's amazing to hear all of the things that the association is involved in supporting bakers and supporting them with education, with knowledge, with, as you mentioned, the support and communicating with the government and getting their support with things and situations, the advocacy and so on. That is, it's wonderful. And so I really appreciate your time. And I'll look forward to shaking your hand in person in May. I'm going to be attending Bakery Showcase. It'd be nice to see you again. And so thanks once again. And this has been Baked in Science for Bakerpedia. My name is Mark Florica, and my guest has been Martin Barnett, the Executive Director of the Baking Association of Canada. My thanks again to Martin Barnett for his time, and looking forward to a future deeper dive into the baking world together. Most importantly right now, some web address links for you. To learn more about the Baking Association of Canada, including membership application and information, visit www.baking.ca. To navigate directly to Bakery Showcase site, go to www.bakeryshowcasecanada.ca. If you see me at the show, or anywhere else in the baking world for that matter, please do stop me to say hi and let's grab a selfie together. That's it for this episode. My name is Mark Florka. This is Bakerpedia's Baked in Science.